Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. So I want to talk this morning about the 10 spies that went to spy out the land. They were under Moses' leadership. Moses led them out of Egypt. God's hand was moving powerfully. We saw God split the Red Sea. He sent 10 plagues. He led them by a pillar of fire at night. God was doing miracles. They saw the miracles of God. How many have seen that in Scripture? And so it's not that God was foreign and God wasn't speaking. They knew and they saw God's hand at work. And God said in chapter 13, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. And so God is saying, listen, Moses, I want you to send out some men. 12 men, 12 tribes, so one leader from each tribe. And look what he says here. He says, I am giving to the children of Israel the land of Canaan. Now you think by this time that the children of Israel would, hey, when God speaks, he means business. When God speaks, he actually follows through. How many would agree? But for some reason, these people were hard-hearted. And so the 12, you know, in verse 3 all the way to 16, it talks about the men that were sent out, and they were sent out to spy the land. And so let's look at this. Verse 20, they were sent out to spy on the land. Verse 20, he said, whether the land is rich or poor, I want you to go check it out, Moses said. Whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. All right? Now, this was the time, it was the season of the first grapes. And so Moses sends out the 12 spies. 12 guys go out to spy out the land. And if you went in to read, you can do that on your own, but from verse 20 on, you'll see that as they went into the land, they saw that the descendants of Anak were there, which were the giants. Okay? The Bible says there was giants in the earth in those days. And that's a whole other topic we'd get into another day. But there was giants. And so when people saw giants, all right, they got scared. How many would be scared if you went into and everybody was 9 feet tall? I mean, you'd be a little concerned. I say, are you sure you want me to do this, God? I mean, you know. So they were scared because they saw the giants. They saw that the land was fortified. And they were scared. Now let's go to verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. After 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. I just lost my notes. Just bring them back up here. And they came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all of the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They came back with these huge grapes. And say, hey, man, look what we can eat, man, if we go to this Canaan. Like, look at these things. Huge grapes, clusters of grapes. And verse 27, and they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit that we found. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong and cannot, they're strong, they're fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. We saw giants in the land. Okay, and so let's look what they said here, verse 30. Then we have another guy who talks, and it's Caleb. All right, now look what Caleb says. And Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen? And so we see here, just find out here because I'm way off my notes. My notes are off anyway, so technology. So they're going into the land. They're coming back, and 8 of these guys have a bad testimony. 8 of these guys are terrified. 2 of the spies are not afraid. And I want to look at what the difference is between the 2 of them, okay? Or sorry, the 8 and the 10. The 10 and the 2, thank you. All right. Technology, yeah. So some of the leaders came back, had a negative view And their words were birthed with fear. When they came back to talk to the people, they had fear. They said, hey, guys, listen, you know, we can't really do this because there's giants in the land. The land is fortified. We just can't do this thing. So there was fear. Now, when you speak fear, guess what it births in other people? Fear. So then all the people said, well, these are our leaders. I'm part of the tribe of Dan, and there's a group here that are part of the tribe of Benjamin and so on. And they're all saying, our leaders are scared. So, you know, maybe they have something to say. How many know it's a big responsibility to be a leader, because you'll be judged by what you say, because you can affect the destiny of a whole group of people, right? And so they had a negative view. But in verse 30, we see what Caleb said. Caleb quieted the people. He said, guys, shh, be quiet, 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 quiet. He said, I want you to listen to what I have to say. He says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Isn't that good? He said, hey, listen, we can do this thing. We don't have to be afraid. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. All right? You guys see, does he have the verse up there? I call these eight guys the wee-wee guys, because it says here, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. See, what they were doing, these eight spies were still looking at their own strength and their own ability to overcome the enemy. We can't do it. And I believe Joshua and Caleb were going, duh. But we got God with us. But we can't do it. But what about God? And so eight of these spies had the wee-wee mentality, right? And we'll continue on in verse 32. And they gave children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people who we saw in the land are men of great stature. And then look at verse 33. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we are like grasshoppers in their sight. And so we were also grasshoppers in their sight. We. And I want to say this, that in life we're going to have giants, right? We're going to have things that we're going to have to conquer. Now, they were conquering geographically, conquering territory. You're not going to have to do that, but you're going to have to conquer things in your life. You might need to conquer a blessing of health. You might need to conquer in an area of finances. You might need to conquer in overcoming a temptation or a fear or an anxiety or whatever it is. God is saying, I want you to move from glory to glory to glory. But what's going to happen as you begin to conquer, fear is going to try to come in. And you're going to begin to look. You have a choice. You can look at how big God is, or you can become a wee-wee person and say, we can't do it. We don't have the strength. Duh. Of course we can. Amen? We couldn't do it without Christ before we were saved. Why do you think we can do it without Christ after we're saved? It doesn't work that way. And so we have this problem going on with the children of Israel. And I want to say this, when your solution is God, the problem becomes very small. When your eyes are set on God, man, you're just like, God, you're the one you're going to take me through this thing. All of a sudden, your giants and your problems, they seem really, really small. But as soon as you begin to focus on the problem, you all of a sudden, everything becomes big, and you become a wee-wee person. You begin to think about, you know, we can't do it. I can't do it. It's impossible. I can't break through. And the answer is, that's true. You can't. Amen? God wants us to change our problem. When your solution is self, the problem becomes huge. Anytime you look at the problems in your life and they seem like they start to depress you, you start to get scared, it means you're starting to look at yourself and you're not looking at the bigness of God. You know, I look at the promise of God was in 13 verse 2, is the promise of God was this. Listen, I want to give you the land. God, I will give you the land. Isn't that what God promised? To two men out of the eight actually believed God. Hey, God had did it in the past. We remember his miracles. He's going to do it again. Eight of those guys forgot about the goodness of God. You know, sometimes it's good to be quiet before the Lord and to begin to meditate and remember the goodness of God. It's so easy to forget. How many know it's easy to forget? If you don't sit and meditate on what God, the goodness of God, it stirs you up, doesn't it? If we go to Numbers chapter 14, verse 8, bring it up on the screen, Numbers 14, verse 8. It says this, and I wanted to read this because this is how Joshua responded. Okay, let's look at this. The Lord delights. If the Lord delights in us, then he, see the word he. If the Lord delights in us, then we will bring ourselves. Notice it says, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people for the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Isn't that what it says? Do not fear them. So the problem was that people were in fear. Eight of the guys were totally terrified of what they saw in the natural. Two of the guys, Joshua and Caleb, both saw something else. They didn't see the problem. They saw how big God was, and they remembered what God had done in the past. And they realized that, hey, listen, God is the one who will deliver us. If God delights in us, he will give us the promise. The Bible says that if we come to God, we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're diligently seeking the Lord, if you have a relationship with God, he will reward you. But the enemy wants you to think that he's not going to reward you, and he's going to hurt you, and he's going to pull you down. That's the devil, right? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, I see another man named David who had to face a giant. And look what he said. He said this, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. David didn't say, yeah, I can take out the Philistine in my own strength. No, he said, it's the Lord. He's delivered me from the lion. He's delivered me from the bear. He'll deliver me from this giant. And I'm here to tell you this morning that whatever giant you're facing in life, God, through the Spirit, will deliver you from that problem. Amen. We have to keep our eyes on God. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus, because if we don't, we start to look at the problem, fear begins to come in, we lose faith, and we begin to sink. Peter was walking on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he never sunk. The moment he looked at his problems, he began to sink. And it's the same way today. The more we look at our problems, the more we will begin to sink. But the more we look at Jesus, the more victory we'll have, and we'll go from glory to glory to glory. Great preaching, Travis. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Praise God. Anyway, so, you know, chapter 14, verse 1, I want to show you guys what happened. Because eight of the spies had a negative report, I want to show you what was birthed in the heart of the people. How many want to see that? There's four or five things that were birthed. Chapter 14, verse 1, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. They wept. Have you ever seen somebody so in anguish they begin to weep and cry and break down? I mean, how do you think that looked to God? It's like, and they're not weeping and crying because they're having an encounter with God. They're weeping and crying because they're terrified, and they think that God is, like, going to kill them. And so they're weeping and crying, which really speaks of despair and hopelessness. If God speaks to your heart and you choose not to look at him and look at the problem, you'll find yourself going into a place of despair and hopelessness. That's where God wants to take you. Amen? He wants to get you to a place where you're just discouraged. Because if you're discouraged, he can take you to the next place. Look what happened next. Okay? verse 2. All the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. All right? And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. In other words, they complained against their leadership, or they basically blamed somebody else. So, you know what? My life is terrible. And you know what it is? It's you know, I shouldn't have went to that church. That preacher was preaching, like, and now I'm depressed, and or I have a friend who's, you know, challenging me to step up in God, and they're legalistic. You begin to wave your finger, you know. They're not legalistic, they just care about you. Amen. Unless they're telling you to cut your hair and tie up your suit, and you know, I mean, they're just hey, you got to deal with this error in your life. Hey, you're legalistic. So, oh, yeah. And you begin to blame your leaders. You begin to blame people around you because you're in despair and really you're not being obedient to God. And then look what happened in verse 3. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and our children, okay, should come become victims? It would be better for us to return to Egypt. And so the next thing they did is they accused God of wanting to kill them. They accused God of judging them, of being an evil judge. Like, you see the pattern? And it can be that way in our lives. If we don't step up and follow the voice of God in our lives, we go into this cycle where you feel depressed, you feel discouraged, and then, okay, well, you know, instead of changing, you begin to blame everybody around you, and then after a while, you begin to blame God. God, you must not love me, and you know, you're trying to do this to me, and I guess I'm Job number 2, and you have all of these things going in your mind. How many know what I'm talking about? And then the last thing they did was they appointed a new leader. That's what they said they wanted to do, all right? So they said to one another, let us select a leader, this is verse 4, and return to Egypt. We want to select our own leader and move to Egypt, all right? So they self-appoint their own leaders. People with itching ears always wanting to come to the truth, but will not. And the Bible says in latter days, it says in Timothy, there will be people who will gather to themselves teachers because they have itching ears, not wanting to do what the Word of God says, but they want to gather teachers that are going to tell them what they want to hear. You're going to prosper. You're going to be in health and everything's awesome and there's no tribulation. And you're not going to have to be challenged and you're not going to be persecuted. Hey, it's a victorious life. Yes, I want that teaching. I'm going to go to that church. Must be the truth. There's 40,000 people there. Amen? But there's no challenge. I want to walk in victory. I want to possess the promised land. I want to have victory and walk as a new creature in Christ. How many would agree? Amen. And in order to do that, we have to make a decision that when God speaks, we're going to listen and we're going to look at things. The glass is not half empty. The glass is half full. Amen? You say, well, I don't have any glass. I have no water in my glass. Well, God can refill the glass. Amen? But we have to be positive. We have to look at every situation positively. All right? So, what was really happening was God wanted his people to learn something. He said, I want you to learn to take ground. I want you to begin to become conquerors. I want you to be apostolic. I want you to be a people that are going to go and possess. Under Moses' leadership, you were pastored and you were taken care of. But now I want you to become, now you've been pastored, you've been taken care of, you've been trained. But now I want you to go forth as a warrior. And there was a transition that was happening, amen? And they didn't understand it. You know, verse 5, I don't know if I have that verse there, Josiah, but verse 5, yeah, you do have it. It says here, Moses and Aaron fell on their face before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. So here you see the transition here of the two anointing mantles. Okay, go back to verse 5, Josiah. Moses and Aaron fell on their face, kind of like they fell down. They're like, oh, please, guys, you know, like they're just like, they're totally like broken. But let's look what Joshua does in the next verse. He has a different approach. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I can't say his name, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. I'm not falling down before you. I'm tearing my clothes. I'm upset. And they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. The Lord delights in us. Let's go and take it. I'm not going to lay in front of you and have mercy. No, let's go, guys. Let's take the land. You see the difference. Both very, very holy assignments. But Moses was there to pastor and to take care of the people. But Joshua and Caleb had a different thing on them. They had an apostolic authority to say, hey, we're going into the promised land. Amen? How many know the Crossroads Church is going into the promised land? How many know that we're going to have revival? You know why? Because it's been prophesied over this city. It's been prophesied that revival is going to come to this land. Has anybody heard a prophecy about God moving in this place? And we don't need people sitting around going, well, you know, waiting on God all the time. Not that that's bad. We got to do that. But we need people that are also going, hey, we're taking the land. We're stepping into this thing. We're gonna put on our big boy pants and our big girl pants. And we're going to go and do something. Amen? How many are excited about that? Amen? And so there was a transition of leadership, and there was a transition of what of assignment, of what God wanted to do, all right? You know, it's amazing to see, you know, that these guys, they tore their clothes and say, guys, come on, man, let's do this thing. They're passionate. What was the response of the people? This amazes me, okay? Does he have it up there? Okay, he doesn't. It's the next verse. I think it's verse 10. And all the congregation said, stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. So here's the people. They're picking up stones, and God literally shows up. He says, oh, no, you're not going to kill the next leaders. No, you're not going to do that. You want to stay here in the wilderness? You can stay, but you're not killing the people that have faith in me to fulfill the promise of God. You're not going to kill the prophets. No, these guys are going forward. You want to stay here? You stay here. Amen? But these guys are moving forward. And God, and I say this, I'm preaching this morning because I believe that this is a room full of Joshua and Calebs. Amen? You guys are ready. You guys are ready for the promised land. I'm not preaching this at, hey, you know, you got to, you know, blah, blah, you're like one of the eight guys. I'm not negative like that. I'm saying you guys are called. We're all called to be Joshua's. We're all called to be Calebs. We're all called to take ground. This is the season that we're in. How many would agree with that? Amen? And so... So let's look at what happens here, okay? Let's look at how God feels. How many want to see what's going on in God's mind? Anybody? Okay. So, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them. What's wrong with these people? All right? And you can see God is upset. Like, you got to realize this, guy. This is not like, you know, a group of people that went to church and went to Sunday school and maybe felt a goosebump of the Holy Spirit. These are people that had experienced God, man. Like, I'm telling you, if you saw a pillar of fire appear and lead you, and you saw, like, an ocean open up and drowned the whole army of Israel. Think of it, the greatest nation in the world. Their army, okay? It's like the U.S. military army going to attack us, and God shows up sovereignly and just swipes it all out and says, I'm with you. And then God says, okay, now I want you to go and take Ireland. And you go, oh! Like, these people, so you look at the justice, the judgment of God, and you think, you know, he was harsh. But no, you got to realize the severity of this. I mean, this is a serious thing, okay? And God is upset. And Numbers chapter 14, verse 22, and you're going to have to read in between all the verses for homework this week if you want to know the whole story. Look what it says. Because of these men who have seen my glory and my signs which I did in Egypt in the wilderness and put me to the test now 10 times. Not just once, 10 times. The other 10 times, we're not going to read about that. And have not heeded my voice, then they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who have rejected me see it, okay? But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit. How many here, let me ask this question, how many here have a different spirit in you? The Holy Ghost. You will inherit the land if you heed the voice of the Lord. Amen? And so he had a different spirit. He said, I'm going to take the land. I am not gonna sit back, and I'm not gonna wait. I'm moving forward with what God has promised. And I want to say this right now. Let's look at the judgment of the rebels, and then I'm going to bring it to today. Numbers chapter 14, verse 28. And this is important. As I live, says the Lord, okay, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. And then we go down to verse 31. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. See, God won't kill kids, but he'll kill rebellious adults. Sorry, it's what the Bible says. He likes kids. But no, seriously. Here's a bunch of guys, all right? The law of retribution, how do you say that? See, I still got a bit of my dad in me. That's good. So you're not going to miss that. I need your help sometimes. The law of... You know, the Bible says, you know, that we got to watch what we say with our mouth. Because in our tongue, the tongue has the power of life and death. They were, think about this, they were standing before God, and they were saying, God heard them. God is here to kill us. He's going to kill our kids, and he's just going to kill us. He took us out of Egypt to kill us. Could you imagine that? And God says, you know what? I'm going to let you have what you said. It's yours. Joshua and Caleb said, we're going to possess the land because God has given it to us. And God says, because you have a different spirit and because you're speaking, I'm going to give you what you speak. Amen. Our words have power. Life and death, there's in the power of the tongue. I have a very close friend. And some of you might even have known him. So I'm not going to, I don't want to get into names because it's very, but a close friend and his wife, got cancer, and she was at fourth stage cancer, 49, 50 years old, very healthy. And I sat down to pray with her, fourth stage. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, ask her if she's been asking to die. And I did. I said, have you been asking God to take your life or have you been asking to die? She said, Travis, I've been asking that for years. I get up every morning in the shower, God, kill me. I want to die. I'm so tired. Because God was speaking to her about doing stuff that she was not willing to do. And so she was discouragement, and all of this stuff came on her, and she got depressed, and she went through this cycle. She got to a place where she was in such a place of darkness. She says, I just want to die. So we started, and she told me that. I said, really, for years? She, yeah, so we started to pray with her, and we saw a major improvement within just a few days. Because I led her through a prayer of repentance. She repented for the words that she spoke. She was at fourth stage. Unfortunately, we lost her. She passed away. But it shows you we have power in our mouth. Amen? I can't stand to hear it when Christians say, I'm sick. You know what I tell people all the time? And then my wife says to me, she says, well, I feel phony if I say I'm healed. I said, well, then you don't have to say that. Just say, my body's under construction. You know, or I'm fighting a cold, or I'm, you know, but to make a declaration, I'm sick. You know what I mean? Like, I, to me, you might as well drop the F-bomb because that's how I feel about it. I just say, you know, like, I'm not doing well. I'm fighting. My body's under construction. You know, I'm believing God. But to say I'm sick, to me, that's not a promise. I don't see, you know, thou art sick. Believe me and you shall get sick. It doesn't say that. It says, you know, by Jesus' stripes and wounds, you are healed. So, you know what I'm saying? So you don't have to go around saying, I'm healed if you're sick, but at least be speaking positively about the promise of God. You're in the process of inheriting it. You know what I mean? And so that's kind of something that's my own personal thing. If you want to say you're sick, that's fine. But for me, it's kind of personal. But anyway, these leaders who were talking bad, they were mature. They were mature. And they had seen the power of God, but God was expecting more from them, okay? You know, I want to give you one more scripture, then we're going to close here, okay? Hebrews chapter 4. All right. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 to 12. Actually, we'll start in verse 7. Josiah didn't give you the scripture, but I'm going to read it anyway. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, this is Hebrews 3, verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, as in the rebellion in the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me. They saw my works 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger that they shall not enter my rest. Then look at verse 12. Beware, brethren. See the word brethren there? Okay. Verse 12. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Amen? We have to be careful that our hearts don't get hard. We say, Pastor, how do I do that? I'll read one more verse and I'll give us the answer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Okay, let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Do you have that one? There we go. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Okay, the rest being the promise and into that place. Okay, lest anyone fall short. Okay, according to the examples of disobedience that we just studied about. Okay, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And I want to say this, is that the word of God is alive and it's powerful. And if you get the word of God in you, you begin to look at the promises of God, then the giants in your life and the problems that you're surrounding will seem like nothing. Amen? The promises of God. What does God say about my situation? I'm going to hold on to that promise. I'm going to look to it. There's a reason why Joshua, as he was going into the promised land, he was told, listen, the word of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. You shall be obedient. You shall do. Remember, and he said it, I think, 4 or 5 times. Don't let the word of God depart, because if you don't, you will have good success. Amen? Because the word of God, say, is alive. It's powerful. And it's going to give us the direction that we need in life. Amen? Amen. And I believe this here. We are a church full of Joshuas. We are a church full of Calebs. There are days I get up and I'm tempted to let fear get in and look at a problem in my life and say, how am I going to overcome this? Or I have to make a choice. I'm going to look to the greatness of my God to overcome that. Amen? I have to do it. You have to do it. And this is a message of encouragement that as in the months ahead and the years ahead, as we begin to move into the promised land, as we begin to become ambassadors for God, that we constantly remind ourselves, we look to the greatness of God. We don't want to be wee-wee people. We want to be people. We want to be he-men. Never mind. I'm dating myself, right? Like way, way back. So 80s, yeah. That was tacky, I know. Yeah. God wants us to go from glory to glory. Amen? How many want to go from glory to glory? Amen. So as God speaks to us, let's not harden our hearts, as in the rebellion is what God calls it, but let's believe that, hey, I honestly think if these people would have came to the leaders, came to Moses and said, listen, we're really scared, but, you know, we believe that God, can you speak encouragement to us? I think God wouldn't have. God's not a harsh God. He would have been cool with that. But it's when they came and they just started blaming him and getting all crazy. God doesn't like that. Amen? And so God is calling us to a higher place. Amen? Why don't we stand and we'll pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just put a worship song on quietly there, Jack? Please. I want you to pray this and say, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that I can be like Joshua and Caleb. In fact, I choose to be like Joshua and Caleb. Help me by your Spirit to keep my focus on the bigness of God and not the bigness of my issues. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, as a church, I really do believe that we're going to be a breakthrough church. I never talked. Did I talk to Michelle and Tiana? Did I talk to you girls about your worship today? And, you know, they went totally into the praise realm, right? Because that's where God's leading the church. He's leading us into a breakthrough. And that's exciting. And I want to encourage you guys all to say, when the temptation to get afraid comes to come in, like, I don't know, that's new territory. Say, no, 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 no. I believe God. We're moving on in God. Amen? Amen. Just as the worship before, as we were worshiping, the Holy Spirit's dropped in my heart. There's a middle-aged woman in this place. And there's at nighttime, and I don't know if it's because of the stress of the day, but it's almost like a spirit of like anxiety comes upon you. And you get very, very nervous, and you have a hard time going to sleep. Who is that woman in here? Is that you? God reveals something. It's because he wants to heal it. Amen? Because he cares about you. Amen. You never told me this, did you? All right? That's how much God loves you. He wants you healed. Amen? I'm just going to lay my hands on you right now. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you heal what you reveal in Jesus' name. Anxiety, you're leaving your daughter. Now, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fill the void right now. Fill the void. There it is. You've not known a father's love. The Father is revealing his love to you right now in a deep way. This week is going to be a week of revelation. As you begin to pray, you're going to just feel like God wrapping his arms around you. There's going to be, you're going to meet God in a powerful way this week. This is your week. This is your hour of visitation, says the Lord, in Jesus' name. Let the fire of God fill her now, in Jesus' name. There it is, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, we worship you, Lord.